So this opening parak has been a little bit surprising. This is supposed to be, after all, practical work. The Seilas Yesharim is supposed to be a practical handbook, a practical guidebook to how to grow. To how to grow up, rung after rung up the ladder towards Ribbono Shel'olam. And rung after rung up the ladder of growth, as he had said in the introduction, towards the five targets, or towards the five elements of the target of proper avos, or the sort of avos Hashem that's nirtzel Hashem Yisbarach. And he had promised us at the end of the introduction that although the pasuk in Chumash, the pasuk in Ekev, organizes these ideas conceptually, the five elements of the goals of avos Hashem, but this sefer is practical, and that's why we're going to go step after step. We're going to have a reorganized the material into a step-by-step organization, using Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair's list of steps in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, Zahiris and Zerizas and the Kiyas, one after one leads to the next, A leads to B and B leads to C. So this parak has been a little bit surprising, certainly was at the beginning, because after getting us all ready at the end of the introduction, now we're going to have a practical sefer. The whole introduction was about how Avos Hashem is a deep discipline, and part of the depth of it is to figure out how to actually, we all agree to the concepts, but let's figure out how we actually make this practical. After all of that, Perek Aleph has been a study in philosophy. It's certainly a chelik of Torah, but at first I think it seemed like, we were sort of onto a different track. He had said at the beginning, this is going to be the foundation for Avos Hashem, and then start talking about big questions. Why are we here? What HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us? Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, Olam HaNisayon. We're surrounded by Nisyonos. The purpose of the whole world is to support our Nisyonos, and that's why the outcomes, the decisions that we make, impact not only our personal spiritual standing, but the spiritual standing of the entire universe. Demonstrating that there clearly is an Olam Haba, any believer will recognize that you look around the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu must have created this world for something more than just it itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu must have created us with a neshama for an Olam Haba. All very important ideas. But at the same time, a beautiful study of machshava, but it seems sort of abstract. And yet he had told us, the moment before we had sort of gone for this dive into abstract philosophy, he had said at the very beginning of the parak that this is going to be Yesod HaChasidus V'Shor Shavodah Tmima. That this is going to be the foundation of growth. The foundation of practical, ambitious growth is first to get clarity, is Bar V'Yisamis, to get clarity about some basic foundational questions. And we're at the point now, near the very end of the parak, where we're beginning to see how this all hangs together. We're beginning to see how this, all of this abstract philosophy actually really matters in terms of practical growth. This is the first step. This parak needed to come before we can get into step one and step two and step three and step four. We had begun to see last time that the ideas of the paradigm of Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh is Olam HaNisayon, Olam Haba is Olam HaTanug. So last time we saw one of the ways in which it matters, and that was the mashal of the frisbee, or the way the Ramchal puts it, the mashal of the scales, the jeweler's scales. Kashi yedaktiku shokle hazava pnil rov yikarm. The fact that someone who's selling a pearl or someone who's selling precious metals use such a precise scale, or a chemist in a lab using such a precise skill. Why? Because if every bit is so valuable, then you want to get it just right. If you recognize here we begin to get practical. We would just look at Olam Hazeh, just what you see is what you get, WYSIWYG. It is what it is. So you would say, okay, look, some things I do, they really matter, and other decisions, big deal, no big deal. I'm not going to ruin that much if I do the wrong thing. I'm not going to accomplish that much if I do the right thing. But once you realize that I realize that I'm creating my Olam Haba through my Olam Hazeh, so all of a sudden every quote unquote little decision really matters. And every small improvement in doing the right thing is a vast impact, because it's multiplied by the ratio, so to speak, between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. So that's already now we're getting practical. And now we're applying, after developing these abstract ideas of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the purpose of creation, Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, now it begins to impact the way in which we make decisions. And now, that's what we had left off with. And now let's see the closing paragraphs. We're just going to take these ideas and these abstract ideas and make them even more practical. Here we are at the very end of Parak Aleph. Nimtzeinu lemedim. From most editions, this is probably a new paragraph. Again, just a few lines, 10, 15 lines before the end of Parak Aleph. Nimtzeinu lemedim. So now, he says, now that we've thought about all of this, now what have we learned? What have we learned? Where's the lemaisa? Iker metzias ha'adam ba'olam hazeh urak l'kayei mitzvos v'la'avod v'la'amod b'nisayon. Now let's begin to apply these abstract ideas practically. And my goal here is to do mitzvahs. My goal here is to focus on Ribbono Shel Olam. My goal here is to develop, to cultivate self-discipline and self-control. How about the physical pleasure of the world? So neither do we say do whatever you want, nor do we say they're all terrible and poison and garbage and you should run away from them. Hanos ha'olam, Olam Hazeh isn't bad, Olam Hazeh isn't good. Olam Hazeh is powerful. Olam Hazeh can be leveraged. There are great opportunities. So Hanos ha'olam should be used well. I shouldn't let them control me, nor should I run away from them. On the other extreme, I should be using them, and I should be thinking deliberately about how, when, and how, and why to engage. Hanos ha'olam, the pleasures that fill this world, that fill Olam Hazeh, ein ro'oi shiyu lo ela le'ezer ulesiyua bilvad. In the ideal situation, I'm seeking to grow towards the long-term goal, is that I'm thoughtfully engaging with the pleasures of this world when they serve a greater purpose. When they serve a greater purpose. Sometimes the pleasure itself might be a mitzvah. Okay, that's often going to be the case. Certainly giving other people pleasure is often a mitzvah. Onik Shabbos is a mitzvah, and so on and so forth. But even when it's not as direct as that, the pleasures of the world can support the ultimate goal of Avos Hashem, l'shiyo nachas ruach v'yishuv das. It puts me in a pleasant frame of mind. It puts me in a calmer frame of mind. So if I'm happy and I have some creature comforts, so not that I'm lahot, not that I am, to use the word he used before, nimshach, I'm being drawn after them and they're making the decisions, but I'm choosing not to deprive myself, but I'm choosing to have a nice life where I have Yishuv Hadas, where I'm calm and I'm in a good mood, and mimela, and that serves a greater purpose. Leman yuchal lefanos libo, or lefnos libo el havodah zos mutels lav. So that I can really focus myself happily, effectively, well, focus my life on the jobs Ribbono Shel Olam has for me. And you'll remember going, this takes us back to the very beginning of the parak, where he had said that the foundation of ambitious substance of Avos Hashem is going to be to get clarity about the questions of why am I here, so that I have clarity about where should I focusing my energy. Now he's putting those pieces together. Now that we have a sense that the creation of Olam Hazeh was to enable Olam Haba, okay. So now I can think about what and why to engage. And he says, ideally, the ultimate goal, I'm not getting here today, I'm not getting here tomorrow, I'm not going to get there next year either, but the long-term goal is, and this is something he already raised in the five elements, the end of the Hakdamah, is to grow increasingly towards bringing more and more of my life into focusing on the Ribbono Shel Olam. The ultimate goal, halavai, that everything, that my entire life is built around Ribbono Shel Olam. This is to live a l'shem thoroughly l'shem shamayim life. He had defined this earlier based on the Ramban as an element of avoda b'chol lev. Wholehearted avoda includes that everything I do is about the ultimate purpose. Everything I do is about the Ribbono Shel Olam. B'chol maaser she'yaseh b'katan gal, whether it's big or small, it seems like a significant act or not. It'll hiskarevei love. Ultimately, the long term goal is everything is to harness my life, to harness all my talents around avos Hashem. Lishbar kol mechitzam avstikos beino vein kono, to break down all the barriers between myself and Ribbono Shel Olam, all the distractions that the world presents, to refocus. Ad sheyimashech. Instead of being, now it's the same verb but used well. Rather than being nimshach achar taivus, I'd possibly drawn acharav, to be drawn after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's kebarzel achar evan ha-shoeves. Like iron after, what does that mean? A drawing stone? What's an evan ha-shoeves? It's a magnet, exactly. So that's the long-term goal, the ideal that we strive for, is to be pulled magnetically to Ribbono Shel Olam. If I see something, come across something in my life that could be a means to that goal, to cultivate more of that closeness, I run after it. I'm going to seize it. I'm going to use it. If I think something may get in the way of that relationship, I'm going to flee it like I flee a burning building. The goal, the glorious goal, is that my neshama is stuck, is glued to Ribbono Shel Olam. Apostle Kintilim. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here. You know, it's important to bear in mind. You have to hitch your wagon to a star. To have great goals. Sometimes people have great goals and then they become a source of frustration because it's been a week, it's been a month, it's been a year, and I'm not there yet. But at the same, the ideal, the long-term ideal is 100%. It doesn't mean that even hard-working Ovdei Hashem mostly don't get to 100%. But if this is the finish line that I'm aiming for, so if by aiming for that, I'll get 50% of the way. If by aiming for that, I get 30% of the way. That might be 28% more than I would have gotten otherwise. So that's an incredible win. It's always dangerous to define success in a binary way. There's a spectrum of where I am along this path, Tavos Hashem. And the if I can set ambitious goals that will be inspiring in the long run, so that will get me further and further along. And every bit that I move further ahead is an incredible win. So he says, now we've wrapped it all together. A clarity, now we're ready, he says, to begin to talk about nuts and bolts. Now we're ready to start talking about, okay, sign me up. What's step one? What's step two? How do we get there? How do we do this thing? Because now we have a sense of where we want to get. Olam Hazeh is so valuable. The choices, our lives here are so meaningful because they actually mean more than what they themselves are. This is multiplying factor. So it makes good sense to try to do this life as well as as best as we can. And we're beginning to have some sense of what it means to do this life well. So with this in mind, now that the principles are in place and this perspective is real, so then now we're ready to begin to explore the details. To begin to explore this step by step. Kemosha Sidram Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair B'Mamar Shaloh, the way that the Tanner Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair, the holy Tzaddik Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair, had sequenced it in his statement, Shaveinu Karab HaKadamateinu. The statements that already appeared a parak ago at the end of the Hakadama, which are, and here are the steps, Zehirus, Zerizus, Nikius, could translate them for now literally, being careful, being energetic, being clean, so far this is the first three, Precious, and it sounds like more separation from Olam Hazeh, Tahara and Chasidus, being pure, and being a Chasid, again this is not... This chassidus has nothing to do with whether your payas are long and curly or not. Nothing to do with the furness of your hat or the length of your jacket. But chassidus, he means in the core sense of going lefnim ishuras hadin, going beyond, volunteering more than what's expected. Anava, humility, yiras chet, being concerned with chet, and kedusha. So how many steps is that? Zehirus is one, zerizus is two, nikias, precious, tahara, Chasidus, Anava, Yiras Chet, and Kedusha. Nine stages. So these nine stages, this is the step-by-step. And now we're ready to start to think about, even, by the way, the fact that this is organized in a step-by-step way, I think reinforces the point I was making a couple of minutes ago, that this is not a binary, success here is not binary. Either I get to the end point and I win, or I miss the end point and it's a big zero. There are so many steps along the way. Now, as he's gonna unpack each one comes in a number of flavors. And every additional success is another win. And over the course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mirtz Hashem, Ribo Hashem gives us, we hope, many decades of life and health on this planet, because he wants us to be growing steadily over the course of many decades. Yeah.
Is it okay if I ask a question?
If it's germane.
Of course. Is it striking to you, or is it, would you say it's a unique feature that he doesn't seem to focus on, you know, the negatives, the Gehenem, or the, you know, he's talking, it's amazing to me, I'm not an expert in Ramchal, obviously, but it's amazing that he hasn't really mentioned.
That's a great point, David. And over the course, that's a great point. Over the course of Parak Aleph, it really has all been about pleasure. It's all been about schar. He hasn't spoken about the onesh for Averis. It's really been about the positives. And that's a great point. He will later on, once he gets into details, Parak Dal will talk about the onesh for Averis. But you're right, in terms of the big picture, it's really about Schar for Mitzvahs. That really makes a larger Kabbalistic point. I mean, all of Parak Aleph is Kabbalah. This is Kabbalah brought down into simple language. But all this discussion about the purpose of Bria, this is all Kabbalah. And the truth is, and this is something he develops more in other Svarim, in both in the philosophical Svarim and the Kabbalistic Svarim. If you break down what he's been talking about, he uses some of this language in Das Tavunos. If you break down what he's talking about, at its core, he says the ultimate purpose of Bria was Olam Haba. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to design the world such that we'll appreciate the Olam Haba that much more if we've earned it. And therefore he creates this world, the Olam HaNisayon, which is meant to enhance our experience in the next world. So the Ramchal talks about in Das Tavunos is two hanhagas. We perceive two different hanhagas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes we perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu in one zone. Sometimes we perceive him in another zone. Sometimes we perceive him, often we perceive him in the hanhagas hamishpat, schar v'yonesh mode. But the Ramchal says the ultimate end of the universe is going to be hanhagas gili hayichud. Where it becomes the clearer that everything, that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind everything, and that's really the ultimate goal, and that's pure pleasure. And that's exactly what he said here. The ultimate goal is for us to enjoy Olam Haba. To get there, it'll be enhanced with an Olam HaNisayon. And Olam HaNisayon, by definition, means it's Chayar V'Onash, it's Bechir Chavshus, and we could do well, we could do, there's something that's right, there's something that's wrong, and there's Chayar, there's Onash. But all that Chayar, all that Onash, is just a Hechatimsa. That's an Emtsa'i to the ultimate, because Baruch Hu ultimately created this, the us, Lehetiv Lanu. So you're right. That's why all the negativity, those are ultimately footnotes. Now, we might look around our lives and say, there's a lot of suffering, there's a lot of pain. It doesn't just look like a footnote. This is very significant. You're right. In the moment, it's very significant. Where I'm standing, if I'm in the middle of a forest, standing next to one tree, so it's hard to see the forest for the trees, because my nose is 3 inches away from a tree. But if you can zoom out, look at the bigger picture, that's one tree among many. I think you're absolutely right. Perek Aleph is all about big picture perspective. Om Hazel, Om Haba, and you're right. Ultimately, if you zoom out enough, you're seeing the whole picture together, it's all Tov. When you zoom in, so there are chunks which are painful because of Onesh, or because of Nisayon, because of this, because of that. Be right. In the biggest picture, it's a very good point. In the biggest picture, it's all... I guess we're all Kabbalists nowadays. Maybe. Okay. So now we're ready to get started. So let's we have 2-3 minutes to get a first lick of the Lamasa. So he had mentioned that Ramchal plans to use Rav Pinchas Ben Yair's series, his sequence, his step by step, and as you already told us in the Hakdama, every new step he's going to take, he's going to do 4 things. And for the first couple of midos, it's actually 4 separate prakim. He wants to get a basic definition of what is Zahiris, and then break it down to greater detail, and then, because this is a practical sefer, talk about some of the ways in which I can accomplish it, and finally some of the pitfalls, common pitfalls to avoid. So he's going to spend the next 4 prakim on Zahiris. Perek Beis will be basic definition. Perek Gimel will be breaking down to details, which is very, very rich, Perek Gimel. Perek Dal will be some of the tools I can use to pick it up, once I understand what it is, how do I get it? And finally, Perek Hay will be pitfalls to avoid. Perek Hay will be incredibly significant. Pitfalls, the 3 major pitfalls towards in the way of the first stage in growth of Avos Hashem, are really the 3 major pitfalls that get in the way of getting on track, getting on the bus of growth in Avos Hashem. And we're going to see those 3 pitfalls in Perek Hay. They're incredibly contemporary. It's an incredibly fresh sound and feel to it. But here we have just a couple of moments, Perek Beis. So the first step is Zahiris. And we look through this list, Bechlal, a number of the things seem to warrant a little bit of a definition, like Nikias. Really? Like the third stage of Avos Hashem is taking a shower every day? And maybe. The truth is the Maharsha on that Gemara of Ozar does understand that Nikias means personal hygiene. But as we're going to see when we get to Nikias, and when we see the Shah, Ram Chal says, personal hygiene is certainly important, but that's not what we mean here. We mean something far more general. So what does it mean to be Zahir? To be cautious? Zihirut Badrachim is, in modern Hebrew, is, you know, driving, defensive driving, being careful the way you drive. What does this mean? What does this mean here? So let's just read the opening lines of Perek Beis, and then we'll have to throw ourselves in more fully Mitzvah next time. Inyan HaZahirus. What's the idea of Zahirus, the beginning of Perek Beis? Ramchal often will start his definitions with a first round that seems to repeat itself, even though it already adds something significant. He says, Zahirus is to be Zahir. Hushia Adam Nizar. Well, obviously, that's tautological. He says, no. To be Zahir, Nizar b'masav uve'inyanav, with your actions and with bigger picture topics. Well, what does that mean? To be Zahir is to be Zahir. Yeah, but what does it mean to be Zahir? Kolomar says, what I mean to say is, to be Zahir, not to be cautious, but to mizbonein umifakeach amasav udrachav, to think. To carve out time to reflect, to examine my maisim, specific actions, and my drachim, my overall trajectory. What track am I on? In other words, the first step, and we'll pick up with this mitzvah next time, is not to just to be sure to not go through life on autopilot. To be sure not to you know. Sometimes you have to get off of the treadmill and stand on the side and look at it. Sometimes I have to get off of the trail and stand on the side and ask myself, how am I doing? To take stock. So the first step is to become a thoughtful, self-reflective person. The first step is to live contemplatively. That's the nugget. That's the kernel of idea. There's plenty of development, which Yom Ritzin will begin to get into next time. I also thank you so much.